west coast of BC. And my grandpa and his husband come to visit me. I'm a farmer on Saskatchewan's flat prairie land. And my mom's a feminist femme lesbian. Well, the Rockies of Alberta tower all around me. And my butch hockey jock cousin lives in my small town. I was born near the Great Lakes of Ontario. And my uncle's a fashion-conscious fairy, you know. From Edmonton to Fredericton, Brandon to Vancouver, Kamloops to Tatamagouche, Yucluelet to Riviere de Loup, from Latu to a Soyuz, from Canoe to Saskatoon. From far and near, we're queer across Canada. Well, I live under the Yukon Northern Lights, in the same city as my grandmother and her wife. I build my house near New Brunswick's Fundy Bay, and my younger brother told me today that he is gay. I'm a country dweller in Manitoba, and my dad came out when I was just 10 years old. I live in a cove in windy Nova Scotia, and my favorite queer cousin lives down the road. From St. John to St. John, Drumheller, Belleville to Barrie, Happy Valley, Goose Bay to Eagle Plains, Gaspé out to Winnipeg, Iqaluit to Tuktoyaktuk, Duck Bay to Victoria. From far and near, we're queer across Canada. Well, I live on the vast tundra of Nunavut, and my Inuit father is two-spirited. I breathe the crisp air of the Northwest Territories, and a drag king performer is my very best friend. I live on the rugged shores of Labrador, and my bisexual stepbrother lives right next door. Je parle français, j'habite au Québec, and gender questioning is where my sister's at. I overlook the Atlantic Ocean in Newfoundland. My maritime trans-anti lives around the bend. I live on Prince Edward Island's red sand beaches, and my neighbors down the street are a couple of queens. From Medicine Hat to Halifax, Calgary to Cadillac, Peterborough, Paulson and Marystown, Okotoks, Owen Sound to Charlottetown, Toronto, Montreal and Ottawa, and up to Dawson City. From far and near, we're queer.
From Baffinon to Haida-Gwaii, White Horse Horse Slide, Yellowknife, Pickle Lake, Meat Cove and Mill, Cape Onion to Cheeseboro, Molasses Hill, Kerrville, Milk River to Theria.
From far and near,
this is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage, and that's one of the queerest songs I've heard in a while. It sounds like that artist doesn't know any straight people. But it's all part of a plan, and the song and the CD it's from are called Queer Across Canada, and it's by Kate Reid. Now, I've been a big fan of hers for a number of years, and every one of her three previous albums is a treat to me, and so is this one. But this one is special, so I wanted Kate to tell us about it. Kate, welcome to Queer Music Heritage.
Thanks for having me on the show, JD. It's great to talk with you again.
And obviously, that's a perfect show for you to be on. Do you consider yourself a queer music activist?
Yes, I do. And because you know, I initially didn't start out that way. I was writing songs for myself, and then it sort of became clear to me that the songs, I guess, were resonating with other people, and that there was sort of an activism component to what I was singing about, because it was, you know, outside of the sort of quote-unquote mainstream, if you will, like, and sort of the mainstream idea of sexuality and gender and those kinds of things.
The new CD is being billed as a pioneering collection for queer families. Could you talk about that?
Yes, the new CD is called Queer Across Canada. Of course, your listeners just heard the title track there. And it sprung out of an idea that I had. Several ideas. My partner and I were walking through the festival grounds at the Vancouver Folk Fest a number of years ago, but in 2009, I had just performed, and we were just walking through and ran into an old acquaintance of her who was pulling two young toddlers in a wagon behind her, and so they were chatting for a while, and then my partner commented about how much the two kids looked alike, and then she asked the woman, she said, are they both yours? And the woman laughed and said, she said, no, they're not both mine, but they have the same donor dad. And so I just started to think about, like, you know, all those sort of possibilities of how we in the queer community create family. And so that started me thinking. And then, you know, that coupled with conversations with my partner's two young children at the time, now they're a little bit older, 10 and 13, but at the time they were quite a bit younger, about sort of some of the issues they face at school because they have lesbian moms and kids at school not understanding how that works and how it's possible, and, you know, how come you don't have a dad and why do you have two moms and those kinds of things. So that's sort of where it came from. It's like I wanted to give voice to kids who are growing up in families that, you know, are sort of different than what we expect the norm to be and what society thinks the norm should be, so that our kids could see themselves reflected in music as well.
Before we get too far, they just heard the song, but talk about the song Queer Across Canada. I think it's kind of a this land is your land for queer folks.
Yeah, I just certainly wanted to hit all of the provinces and territories in Canada. Thank God I don't live in the States, because that would have been a really long song, right? So, yeah, I just wanted to sort of include all of the parts of Canada. Queer people live everywhere. You know, we don't just live in major cities and queer villages and major cities.
I understand you did a number of interviews to develop the project across the country. Could you explain that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did a lot of interviews. I interviewed about 74 people, and many of which were in the same family. So we sort of did one interview with a number of people at the same time. And then I started the process of interviewing, and I interviewed kids of queer parents from the youngest interviewee I had was 4 years old, which was really awesome. And then all the way up to a 39-year-old woman who grew up with a lesbian mom in the 70s. And, you know, sort of every age in between, kind of. And then I also interviewed the children's parents. So I got sort of quite a broad range of people there and perspectives. Most of the songs are written from the perspective of the child or the youth who is living in the queer household, right? So,
do people get that right away, that these are not your experiences, you're singing for other people?
I'm not sure. I think so. Most of the people who buy the album either know me, right, or they're familiar with the project.
Well, I don't like to go too long without playing some music, so could you tell us about the song Cool Enough to Be Gay?
Sure. My partner has a gay male friend who came out, you know, he had married, his kids were in their teenage years. Him and his wife separated because he finally realized he couldn't be in the closet anymore. So he came out to his wife. They separated, but they didn't tell the boys until, I'm not sure how many years later, but a number of years later. And then they finally decided to, you know, have a family meeting. And so when I was interviewing the guys, and they're now in their 20s, one of the sons was talking about how he, you know, they called this family meeting, and you know, he's going over to the mom's house, and he's trying to figure out, you know, what's this meeting going to be about. He was going through all these different reasons as to why this meeting was called and trying to figure it out. And one of the last things he thought about was like, oh, what if dad's gay? What if they're going to tell us that dad's gay? And then he sort of dismissed it and thought, no, he's not cool enough to be gay. His exposure to gay men was, of course, you know, these young hip dudes on TV, right? And they're trendy looking. And he's like, my dad's just like a, you know, a quote unquote normal person. Like, he, you know, he knew him as his father, right? So he couldn't quite imagine that. And that's where the phrase cool enough to be gay comes from. I thought that was a good hook for the song. So that's the title.
Our mom and our dad told my brother and me, we're having a family meeting today. It must be serious, I think to myself as I drive to my mom's house. See, our mom and our dad are separated now, and he rents an apartment downtown. Maybe they're moving back in together, or has their divorce come through? My brain trying to figure this out as I park in the driveway of my mom's house. It's dawning on me that my dad's friends are these stylish West End men. And I remember that time he took me and my brother to that drag queen show last summer. I might be on to something here, it's starting to seem clear. But he's so old school, there's just no way. My dad's not cool enough to be gay. I feel curious inside. What are they going to tell us this time? Now we're all sitting down at the kitchen table. My mom and my dad and my brother and me. And our dad has something to share with us, it seems. Well, he says he's been keeping a secret for years, and he came out that day to my brother and me. He knew he loved men when he married our mom, but he prayed it would just go away.
I know. He's not cool enough to be gay. He's like a normal person. I wonder why he waited until now to tell us, though. Hey, bro, does this mean I am going to turn gay? I don't feel gay. Dude, you're not gay. Because dad's gay doesn't mean you are. Alright. Hey, I wonder, what's going to happen to us now? Is dad going to introduce us to his boyfriend? Yeah, probably. I think that's gonna happen. What if mom comes out too and tells us she has a new girlfriend now? This is weird. I mean, is this normal?
Tell us about the song, Not Alone.
Yeah, Not Alone is, it's centered around kids getting picked on and teased in school and harassed. Because other kids can't understand why their parents would be gay or why their parents would be lesbian or transgender or queer. So they, you know, they target our kids. And just that whole notion about how queerness is so not celebrated and not accepted and not tolerated. And I don't like to use the word tolerated, but it really isn't tolerated in lots of schools, and it's not talked about and it's not on the table. So it's just sort of a song about that. And it's a song about how this kid sort of deals with it and what's happening. And one of my friends, when he first heard the song, he said, why do you have to make it always end on a positive note? He's like, why can't you just let that song be a tragic song? And I really thought about that for a while, and I thought, you know, that's a good point. And I said, but, you know, I really do want to have a sense of hope, you know, at the end of each song. It was really important for me to sort of think about that piece and then think, you know, no, I want to make this into a song where this kid actually rises up and takes charge of the situation and isn't a victim and moves forward.
They shove me into the lockers when they walk by me in the hall. They passed me nasty notes in class behind the teacher's back. They call me all kinds of names because they know my dad is gay. They say that I must be the same way. And it's hard living this life. Everyone's families are different than mine. I don't fit in. I want to run away and hide. And it's tough being the only one. All those bullies make fun of me. Some days I don't want to face it. I feel small and all alone. They harass me before the bell goes. They want to meet me after school. They say if I don't show up, they will beat me up. They stalk me and then they torment me online. They tease me endlessly. They message me saying my dad and I are freaks. And it's hard living this life. Everyone's families are different than mine. I don't fit in. I want to run away and hide. And it's tough being the only one. All those bullies make fun of me. Some days I don't want to face it. I feel small. My dad picked me up from school one afternoon. He said he knew what I was going through. He had been bullied when he was young too. Then he hugged me tight, he said he loved me. And then he said, remember that bullies are frightened people on the inside. Now we're gathering our allies, my dad and I, people who stand on our side. Teachers, family, police, and community. I won't let those bullies make a victim of me. This isn't a tragedy. I will survive, and this is my story. And it's hard living this life. Everyone's families are different than mine. I don't fit in, and I want to run away and hide. And it's tough being the only one. All those bullies make fun of me. Some days I don't want to face it. I feel small. And it's hard living this life. Everyone's families are different than mine. I don't fit.
Well, this is not just a CD. This is going into an educational resource.
Yes. I was a teacher before I became a musician, and so I have, you know, a teaching degree, et cetera. And it dawned on me sort of about, I guess it was the winter of last year, that I should make a teaching resource kit to go along with the album that teachers can use in schools, you know, to sort of touch on some of these issues and issues of diverse families and gender and sexual identity and things like that in the classroom. So I've been developing this resource kit to accompany the CD that uses the songs as a starting point for discussions, activities, exercises in the classroom.
So therefore, if there are teachers who want to deal with the topics and don't really know how to approach it, this will get them started.
The great thing about this kit, I'm designing it so that they can do a whole bunch of activities around a song that start from very basic to sort of more project style things, or they can just, here's a song, what do you think about it? What do you think about the content and the story in the song, and how can we talk about it in the classroom?
Have you been performing these songs yet? And if so, is there a song from the new CD that gets the biggest reaction?
In terms of response, I don't know. I think people like different songs for different reasons. So I don't notice one bigger reaction to a song than another, but people just have their own, you know, their own taste.
Well, I have some favorites I want to ask about. My very favorite is Boys Who Wear Dresses.
I'm glad you like it. It's a song that I wrote about actually a young boy, a former partner of mine from many years ago. She had this little nephew, came from like the sort of, you know, tough dad and mom sort of family and lived out in the country. And he was like built like a little tank. Like he was this really strong, sturdy, solid little guy. He was about 5 at the time. And he used to come over to our house and loved dressing up in, you know, sort of our girly clothes, like our dresses, and he just loved to do that. And it was a real struggle for his parents because, of course, you know, it really challenged his father's idea of what a boy should be like and what he expected his son to be like. So it's sort of a tribute to him and his fascination and really desire to sort of want to be more like what he thought a girl should be like. And he loved the clothes. He loved dressing up and all that stuff. So it's sort of a tribute to him.
I love it when my big sister lets me try on her clothes and pretty dresses as I stand in front of her full-length mirror. I mix and match, I have a flair for fashion. I put together eye-catching outfits, then I try them all on and admire myself. But if I wear her clothes to school, it's like I'm breaking some unspoken rule. All the kids make fun of me, they call me a fairy. Who decided what boys and girls should wear? That some clothes are boys' clothes and some clothes are only girls' clothes. It doesn't seem fair to me. So when I grow up, I'm going to fly away. There's nothing wrong with boys. There's nothing wrong with boys. There's nothing wrong. Dressed up, but that doesn't make sense to me, because fashion is fun and this outfit is stunning and I look totally awesome. Skinny jeans and halter tops, short shorts with fuchsia flip-flops, sleeveless sequin fancy pantsuits and shiny rhinestone cowgirl boots, handbags with brass snaps on pockets, matching my heels and gold lamé hot pants and mini skirts and sparkly bracelets and blouses with flowers and lacy trim. When I grow up, I'm going to fly away. There's nothing wrong with boys. There's nothing wrong with boys. There's nothing wrong with boys who wear dresses. Some people think I messed up because I
another unusual topic is covered in My Radical Donor Dad.
Yes. Yes, and that is a song about, was written specifically for my partner's son. He told me that some boys, when they found out that he didn't have a father, and that he had two moms, they couldn't quite wrap their heads around it, and they thought, well, how come you have two moms? How come you don't have a dad? And his response was like, I do have a dad. I have a donor dad. And the boys, you know, of course, like, they started teasing him, and they started calling it Donut Dad, you know, Donut Dad, Donut Dad, which is, of course, very traumatic for a person in grade three. So, you know, so Ben was quite traumatized by this, and when he was quite young. And so I wanted to write a song for him.
This tale took place on a sunshiny morning. I walked into my new class with my two moms. I looked around, I didn't know anyone else except me. It was my first day of grade three. Then we all sat down together in a circle on the floor. The other kids' moms and dads were everywhere. And when it was my turn to share, I said, this is my family, but there's more to this story than you can see. 'Cause I've got a donor dad, sweetest dad I ever had. Yep, my two moms out with his healthy sperm count. He donated a part of me, my mom's created the rest of. Understand, I said, but my moms are lesbians. They found my dad in a fertility clinic catalog. They read through piles of profiles. They inspected scads of dads, and when they found him, they knew that he was quite the catch. He likes to ice skate, eat ribeye steak, he's even one quarter Cherokee, and he's smart just like me. He's even got his PhD. So the doctor mixed him up with an egg inside my mom, and presto, 9 months later I was born. And I've got a donor dad, sweetest dad I ever had. Yep, my two moms out with his healthy sperm count. He donated a part of me, my mom's created the rest of. That morning on our classroom door, our teacher opened it and two new students came walking in. They looked exactly the same. Their names were Mary Claire and Ruby Jane, twin girls with green eyes and short red curly hair. Well, I met up with Mary Claire and Ruby Jane outside at lunch. They were good at soccer and running. We even played a game of house. We became fast friends and were together until lunch hour was through. It seemed like we were more alike than I knew. And when the bell rang at 3 o'clock, I ran outside to meet my moms. I talked about my day and the new friends that I made. Just then Mary Claire and Ruby Jane walked by to greet two men who were standing by the playground holding hands. So I walked up to them, shook hands and chatted for a while. Then one of my moms politely asked, so who's the mother of the twins? And Mary Claire and Ruby Jane proudly exclaimed, we've got a surrogate mom, sweetest mom and then some. She donated her uterus so our two dads could parent us. She was inseminated, we did our part and germinated. Two moms out with the selfish sperm count. You don't need it a part of me. My mom's created the rest of me. Some kind of radical, my radical donor dad. Some kind of radical, his radical donor dad. Some kind of radical, my radical donor dad.
the song Altoona, Manitoba could have been written about just anywhere in North America.
Yes, it could. Yeah, and that's also a true story. That was not an interview. I saw that in the paper while I was recording the project and wanted to write a song about it because it is, like you said, it could be any school in any district in any part of North America where, you know, a couple of teachers are trying to be forward-thinking and inclusive and supportive of their students that they, you know, potentially queer students, queer families in their schools, and there's a huge backlash about it, right? And so that was sort of my sarcastic sort of little bent on it, so.
There's a storm brewing in our small town today. CTV is here in the local paper too. They're reporting on a story unfolding in our elementary school. Two teachers did a bad thing, some angry parents say, by posting threatening postcards in their classes and hallways. The offending cards were all awash with the colors of the rainbow. And the message on the cards was straight up and it said, I support lesbian, gay, trans, bi, and intersex, two-spirit, queer, and questioning people, families, and communities. And the evil word ally was stamped right across the front. The cards were hung, but no one noticed for a couple months until one day a parent saw them and freaked out and picked up the telephone. Oh, Altoona, 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 Manitoba. Some of your kids, it's safe to say, could grow up to be gay one day, so it's time to join this century and pull your head out of the sand. Let's talk about diversity, being queer and being trans, or the world will spin on by without you singing bye-bye, Altoona. It sure was nice to know ya. And the news of the offense spread like wildfire through the town. And the parent action committee wanted to take those postcards down. So they called an urgent meeting with the teachers and administration. And a hot debate then ensued between the parents and the school. Well, it's scandalous propaganda, said the parents. Our kids will be confused, so remove the postcards they demanded and throw them in the garbage. Oh, Altoona, 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 Manitoba. Some of your kids, it's safe to say, could grow up to be gay one day, so it's time to join the century and pull your head out of the sand. Let's talk about diversity, being queer and being trans, but the world will spin on by without you singing bye-bye, Altoona. It sure was nice to know ya. Altoona, are you going to go down in history by letting fear and judgment be your legacy? Oh, homophobia isn't pretty on you. Heterosexism is overrated too. Maybe it's you, not your kids, who are confused. Since ordered the cards to be taken down. Apparently there are no gays living in the Bible Belt, but don't kid your kids yourselves and us, what's age appropriate ain't the issue. And this sounds like a queer debate, but I don't hear no queer folks talking here. Oh, Altoona, 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 Manitoba. Some of your kids, it's safe to say, could grow up to be gay one day. It's amazing what a few postcards and some caring teachers can do. There's nothing wrong with diversity, being queer and being trans too. The world just might spin on by without just singing bye-bye, Altoona. Altoona, Manitoba. Altoona, Manitoba. Altoona, Manitoba. Altoona, Manitoba.
Another topic you seldom hear about is covered in the song Straighter Than an Arrow.
Mm. Yes, so Straighter Than an Arrow was the story about this young woman who grows up with a lesbian mom, who's a lesbian feminist, and, you know, as she's growing up, there's like all this you know, she's surrounded by feminism, lesbianism, sort of like, you know, all these sort of, you know, it talks about it in the song about, you know, there's rainbow stickers everywhere, and she talks about going to Michigan Women's Festival, and, you know, there's all this lesbian lifestyle, feminist lifestyle stuff happening around her, and struggles with her own sexuality, right? And she eventually realizes that, wait a second, I'm actually straight, thinking that she was going to be, you know, lesbian like her mother. And so the song is about her coming out to her mother about being straight and being worried about that, because thinking her mother's not going to accept her because she's not a lesbian like her mother. So typical story of coming out as a gay person to your parents, but it's a flip on that.
Mom, please come sit down with me. Please don't worry and please don't frown. I've been meaning to tell you for some time now, but I haven't known how. I know you tried your best with me. You taught me about sexism and misogyny, heterosexism, homophobia, and patriarchy. You put rainbow magnets on our fridge and rainbow stickers on our car. We haven't missed a single family-friendly pride event so far. You took me camping with all your friends. We even went to Michigan. We danced and slept and protested on women-owned land. But no matter how hard I try, I still have these feelings inside. No matter which way I slice it, I just can't fight it anymore. So, Mom, I thought you should be the first to know. It's not just a phase I'm going through. And I pray that you will understand and that you'll love me in the end. Mom, I'm heterosexual. I really tried to be a lesbian, you know. I finally stopped asking myself why. I just like guys too much to deny it. Mom, I'm heterosexual. This is a whole new concept for me, you know. Growing up in this household, you'd think I'd be gay, but look at me, I'm straighter than an arrow. No matter who we are,
no matter who we
no
are,
matter how we live,
no matter how we
no
live,
matter who we choose to share our hearts with, no matter who we love, you'll always be my mom. And I will always and forever be your daughter.
Hi, this is Kate Reed, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
No dresses, I ain't no princess, I don't like pink at all. I've got dirt on my jeans, I like to climb. I've got scars on my knees to prove it. I am a tomboy. I am a tomboy. Short haircut, I wear bare feet in the mud, I race my bike over jumps, I build myself. I am a tomboy. am soft and I am strong and I belong. It's okay if you're gay. It's okay, it ain't a bad way to be. And it's okay, yeah, if you're gay. It's okay because it's a great way to be.
I made that a triple play, and after Straighter Than an Arrow, you heard I'm a Tomboy and That's So Gay.
Are there any songs that we haven't talked about yet that would be really important for you to discuss?
I'm really a fan of the Mother's Day, Father's Day conundrum, because two reasons. I just like the fact that it's sort of a hip-hoppy spoken word piece, but I also, that song was written for my partner's daughter. And she, you know, talked about that whole idea about how, you know, when Mother's Day and Father's Day comes around, it's a bit confusing for her. It, when she was younger, it certainly was, because, you know, she had two moms that she had to make Mother's Day cards for in school, and, you know, no father. So it was always sort of a bit of an issue for her. And, you know, that whole idea about, you know, teachers needing to be more sensitive around those types of things, like about kids that potentially don't have a mother, don't have a father, or have two moms or two dads or those kinds of things. The other piece about that, of course, is that my partner's daughter, Jessica, is singing on that song as well, which is cool.
Mother's
hot spring morning in May. Instead of one breakfast in bed, I make two, I make two. Mother's Day cards are not classy. Other kids ask me why I need more paper, glue, and paint supplies, and more time, but I do. It's a sticky situation. It's a jam, it's a pickle, it's a fizz. My school assumes that I am just like the other kids. It's quite a quandary. It's a possible social catastrophe. Cause Mother's Day for me has a differently placed apostrophe.
It's a conundrum having some mom sometimes.
When Father's Day rolls around in June, I got nothing much to do. All the kids are making cards for drugs and toolboxes, fishing gear and barbecues. And I feel so left behind, like the last one picked for the team at recess time. Even though I'm a wicked athlete, I play defense on a girls' hockey team. Wow, it's a sticky situation. It's a jam, it's a pickle, it's a fix. My school assumes that I am just like the other kids. It's quite a quandary. It's a possible social catastrophe. Cause Mother's Day for me has a differently placed apostrophe.
It's a conundrum having two moms sometimes.
Remain calm, you don't gotta write poetry that's deep, just keep a pen in your palm. Not to drop a bomb, but life was never like it was in a sitcom. You gotta see reality, TV ain't real, we're not reinventing the real. Two summers make a hole, you got two mums, then kid, you just rock and roll.
So I'm creating a Father's Day card in class. The other kids ask me why I do. They look so confused when I say she's my mom and she's my daddy too. Sticky situation, it's a jam, it's a pickle, it's a fix. My school assumes that I am just like the other kids. Yeah, it's quite a quandary, it's a possible social catastrophe. But I love my mom and I love my mommy daddy too. Ooh, yeah, I love my mommy daddy too.
It's a conundrum having two moms, but sometimes you gotta make up your own rules.
M-O-T-H-E-R-S apostrophe D-A-Y. M-O-T-H-E-R-S apostrophe D-A-Y. M-O-T-H-E-R-S apostrophe D-A-Y. M-O-T-H-E-R-S apostrophe D-A-Y.
This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage, and it's always a treat to interview Kate Reed, especially this time for such an innovative project. I had such a good time talking with her that I also got to ask her about some of the music from her first three CDs. And no, that won't fit into this hour segment. But my philosophy when interviewing is that I'm capturing history, and it needs preserved and shared. So on my site, there's an interview, Kate Reed, Part 2. And again, that's at queermusicheritage.com. You can also find out a lot more about her at www.katereed.net. And Reed is spelled R-E-I-D. And I've got just a little more to talk with her about in this part and to get to the closing song.
I think this CD is important.
Thank you. I think so too. And I'm really excited to see where it's going to go, right? Like, I'm excited to see where it's going to... how it's going to end up in classrooms up here. I am going to contact GLSEN in the States and see if they're interested in looking at it or, you know, just putting it out there.
You picked We Are Family as the new CD's closing track, and it fits. I'm wondering if you considered making the lyrics more queer.
I didn't. I just wanted to keep it the way it was. I wanted to keep it familiar to people and just sort of have, you know, have it be a sing-along for people and, yeah, just sort of pay homage, I guess, to Sister Sledge, who, you know, the band that brought that song out into the open for all of us. And you know, what I did do was to add, you know, the queer youth choir, our kids, a bunch of kids from our friends' family just had lots of fun with it.
Can they be that close? Just let me stay for the record. We're giving love in a family dog. Of this world's delights, I hope we have for the future and our goals inside. No, we don't get depressed, but here's what we call our golden rule. Have faith in you and the things you do. You won't go wrong. This is our